Goofy. Okay. Welcome back to the show, where as day turns to night, we delve into all manners of topics, strange and unknown. This is 99.9 FM, Unidentified Signal. DK, it's been a bit. How are you?
I mean, it hasn't been that long. I mean, it's just our usual time span here in old Augury Point, you know?
I feel like I'm in a paradox.
Gets creepy. I don't know. It gets creepy in Augury Point. Once it starts to like hit twilight like it is now, when the sun is like just setting, it's like it's peaceful. There's a nice glow. But once it turns dark, Augury Point gets weird. Not that anything weird happens, just has this like weird vibe to it. And it just gets kind of, I don't know, man.
Let me tell you, when I am on the road, on my way, you ever look down at the little clock, the little dashboard radio there? And then all of a sudden you look up and you're about 5 miles away from where you last remember being. You're like, oh crap, I'm driving.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That happens to me when I'm like on the freeway, right? It'll be like, oh man, there's like 20 miles to go until I hit my destination. And then you kind of just zone out and you look up and it's like, whoa, 5 miles to go. What the? It feels like you've almost been like teleported. And it's like, why don't I remember like the last hour? Like, that's kind of creepy that I don't, that it just blew by. Yeah.
It's eerie sometimes. And I'm surprised that I haven't ended up somewhere I've not meant to be before.
Yep. Well, your internal GPS takes over and it's like, yeah, I know where I'm going. I got it. And it's like muscle memory almost.
So, yeah, it's wild. But speaking of ending up where you not necessarily intended to be, does the name Brandon Swanson mean anything to you?
Brandon Swanson. The name sounds familiar, but I can't figure if it's a story I've heard or isn't there like a Family Guy character named something Swanson?
Oh, you're thinking of Joe.
Joe Swanson. Yeah, that's probably what I was thinking. All right.
Well, we're not talking about that guy, but
oh, poor Joe.
good callback.
Beater. Hey, Beater.
You say egg beater?
Hey, Beater. I need to borrow your egg beater.
Egg beater.
My legs don't work, Peter.
Anyway, so, who are we talking about again?
All right. Let me give you some background here.
Okay.
In the heartland of America, amidst the endless fields of corn and wheat, a mystery unfolded that would grip a community and defy explanations. This is the story of a one Brandon Swanson.
Oh, okay. Brandon Swanson involved in some stuff. All right.
Mm-hmm. Brandon Swanson was just a 19-year-old college student, but he vanished without a trace on the night of May 14th, 2008. He had been attending a party with friends in a small town of Canby, Minnesota.
Candy, Minnesota? The place is called Candy?
Can be.
C-A-N-B-Y. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So this one was weird. I won't lie to you.
It wouldn't be on our broadcast if it was normal.
That's putting it true.
Wow.
So, leaving the party in the early hours of the morning, Brandon embarked on what should have been a routine drive to nearby Marshall, Minnesota, his hometown. But something went terribly wrong. Okay, Brandon's car ended up in a ditch along a rural gravel road, setting off a chain of events that would baffle investigators and haunt his loved ones for years to come.
Oh boy. All right.
See, Brandon had made phone calls and told his parents, "I'm here," where he thought he was, "and I'll be home soon."
Okay.
But while he was on this phone, his mother claimed he was scared. He told us He didn't know where he was. It was heartbreaking to hear him like that.
Ooh. What year did you say this took place in?
2008.
Okay. So we haven't quite hit the era of, well, have we hit smartphone eras yet? I don't know. But they probably don't have like the built-in GPS and stuff like that where you can
just, yeah,
like,
no.
Yeah, we're probably still just coming out of like what? Razor phone.
Yeah, Razor flip phones and whatnot.
Yeah, so it's not like he could have just popped up and been like, "Hey Siri, where am I?" Or anything like that, because, you know, that's just the technology doesn't exist yet, I assume.
Yeah. So to put it in perspective, just to make it a little clearer here, Brandon was a native to Minnesota. He grew up in Marshall and he was going to school in Minnesota at the West Community and Technical College. Mm-hmm. So he knew the area. He's very familiar with the area. And when he told his parents he was on his way home, it really didn't raise any flags because he's familiar. He knows how to get home from school and he's at this party. He knows how to get back. But the issue arises when he makes another call. Mm-hmm. And distressing, he's explaining, or so we think, talking about what he's doing or where he's at before all of a sudden the last words you hear from Brandon are, "Oh shit," and that's it.
Oh no, something bad happened to Brandon.
So one thing was clear, his last distress call abruptly cut off with the cry of "Oh shit" would be the last anyone had heard from him.
Okay. So,
and not definitely.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it seems pretty clear that something, someone was probably chasing him, got him, found him for whatever reason. I immediately go to like, something happened at the party. Someone was not happy with him. Someone followed him. Someone was looking to, get revenge for some sort of offense that they think was given to them by Brandon. And they just never let up because they were a terrible person.
All we know is that looking at the map, his drive should have been routine. A literal straight shot from the town of Canby to Marshall. But for whatever reason, ending his call with "Oh shit" before the line disconnects. Not a hang up, a disconnect.
Oh, so his phone just
gone.
It wasn't like it fell to the ground and was still active for a second. It was just line shuts off.
Disconnect. Yep. Man falls into the back rooms or something. Just gone.
Okay.
Just gone. So, as I said, after the distress call, immediately, the parents panic.
Oh,
the search.
Sure.
The search just ensues. So,
also, real quick. So, I'm looking at a picture that Shai put on our bulletin board of the trip. So, he's going from Canby, and his final destination is supposed to be Marshall, right? Like his home is in Marshall. So it looks like he actually gets to Marshall and he keeps going. Like,
so it's a little misleading. It's a little misleading. So that's the normal route from Canby to Marshall.
Uh-huh.
The town of Lind over there is where he ended up.
Oh, okay. Got you. So that's just like if you put it, okay, gotcha. That's just like if you put into Google, like, take me from Canby to Lind or something. Okay. That wasn't the actual route he took in that picture.
Correct.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. I was just a little confused by that picture because it looks like the blue thing is like, oh yeah, he makes it to Marshall and then he just keeps on going and he ends up in Lynn. Okay, sorry. I was a little confused by that because I was like, oh, that makes it even more creepy because he could have just stopped in Marshall and found help, but he keeps going. And okay, just to make sure we're on the same page. Thank you.
Yes, so let's round this out. On the evening of May 13, 2008, Brandon Swanson attended a party with friends in Canby, Minnesota. Again, he was a 19-year-old college student at the time studying at Minnesota West Community and Technical, and at some point during the party, Brandon decided to leave and drive back to his hometown of Marshall, where his parents lived. Mm-hmm. While driving home, his car ended up in a ditch on a gravel road in a rural area near Canby. He called his parents for assistance around 2 in the morning on May 14th and told them he was near the town of Lind, which is close to Marshall. Yeah. However, it later became apparent that Brandon was actually much farther away from Lind and closer to the town of Taunton, Minnesota.
Oh, so wow, he was nowhere near where he thought he was.
Nope.
Oh,
and as a native, as a native to Minnesota who presumably made this drive time and time again, he ended up where he thought he was, and it ended up being nowhere near where he thought he was.
Not even close. Wow. Like, that's crazy because, like, making that drive as often as you do, like, because I... Every now and then I go and see my brother who lives like 2-ish hours away. And it's like your internals should at least be like, okay, I've been driving for like a half hour. I'm nowhere near my final destination. There's no way I could be in Lind because I've only been driving for a half an hour. Marshall's like 2 hours away. Lind's even further than that. There's no way I'm near Lind. So it's like, how did his internal like, get so messed up that he thought he was in Lind when he was like not even halfway to Marshall yet.
Exactly. And it's you brought up a good point too, because when you take routine 30, 45 hour long drives, you know what they feel like.
Oh,
you know roughly where you should be, whether you're a landmark guy or a directions on the maps guy. You have an idea of how far 45 minutes to an hour is.
Yeah, definitely.
Now you look at the town of Canby, and then you look at where his car was found. Knowing that the drive from Canby to Marshall is roughly 35 to 40 minutes, and to carry on further to Lind is 45.
Yeah.
How long?
Oh, that's true. That's true. If he was lost and just like going around for like, he was just driving in circles for like, I don't know, 45 minutes, that could explain why he thought he was in Lynn, because he was just, I guess, I don't know. That seems crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's that's wild that he ended up there, because it's like, he knows the area. So you'd think that's wild.
Yeah. So his car gets ditched. And it's presumed that he's walking, right? His car, it doesn't work. He's just going to finish the walk. Now, if you assumed you were in Lind, from where you think you are, you could feasibly make the walk to Marshall from Lind. But then you realize, by looking at the maps here and trying to like target where he was actually found, or where his car was actually found, you start to think like, okay, I can understand how someone could feasibly consider the walk.
Yeah.
But he thought he was so much closer than he actually was. And yeah, the walk from Taunton to Marshall, not so straightforward.
Yeah. And if he's in like, say, a little southeast of Taunton and he thinks he's in Lindby, he's going to start walking like northeast and get up into like Hazel Run before he even sees any of Marshall.
Yeah, if you're looking at directions as relative, and let's assume he knew which way was north.
Oh, that's true too.
Like, he just He just walked. He just, I'll be there soon.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's it. We don't hear him.
Yeah. Also, that Shy put on a little bulletin board, a view from where his car was found, and it's just like, there's nothing. There's no, there's barely, that's not even really a street. That's just like a dirt path that's been carved out for anyone unlucky enough to be on that path. So
yeah, I did this. So it looks like one of those access roads, right? Because it's the heartland of America. There's farms.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So when I was doing my research and I'm looking at, you know, the topography of this place, looking at some of the roads going down to the street view, shout out Google, I guess. I am looking at all of these images and I'm like, it's very, I'm a movie head. So I'm like, this is like Wrong Turn or Jeepers Creepers. Like what happened out there? Like,
yeah. Seeing that view from where his car was found, I'm just like, oh, that's how he got so turned around. That's how he thought he was in Lynn, because it's just there's no waypoint. There's no location that you can be like, oh, yeah, well, very clearly I am in town X or town Z or town Y. Oh, yeah, clearly I'm in Green Valley now. There's nothing. There's no landmark. It is just like, it's just fields and access road, like you said. It is impossible to tell exactly where you are.
100%, dude.
This is like we said, there's not really, I mean, I guess GPSs probably exist, but at this point in time, probably not a ton of people have them, especially not a 19-year-old in his car. So like, now I'm just like, oh, okay. Now I suddenly get why he was so confused.
Yeah. So it became apparent really quickly that, you know, Brandon's father was just trying to help Brandon figure out where he was to help him locate. And when Brandon suddenly exclaimed, oh shit, and the call was disconnected, despite every effort to call him back or reconnect with him, he never answered any more phone calls. And that was it. And that was the last contact anyone had with him. And he was reported missing shortly after.
Was the line ringing or did it just go straight to voicemail?
They don't say.
Ooh,
they don't say.
Okay.
So it's unclear exactly what led Brandon to drive off the road and become disoriented in the rural area. And some speculate that he may have been unfamiliar with it and or had been drinking at the party, although there was no evidence to suggest that he was intoxicated.
Okay.
And the circumstances surrounding his disappearance remain mysterious, and despite extensive searches and investigations, he was never found.
Okay, so there was never a body that was found, and they found his car in near Taunton?
Yeah.
And were there any clues in the car? Oh, well, you're probably going to get to that. I'll just let you keep telling it.
So the area where he went missing is rural, right? Characterized by farmland, gravel roads, and just sparsely populated areas. As we said, it's like farmland. It's just people who live out there are the only people who live out there. The closest town is miles away. They just live off the land, and that's that. So while there might not have been anything inherently unique about the area or the landscape itself, the circumstances leading up to his disappearance have led to nothing but speculation and interest in the area. So now people are starting to ask, how the hell does this happen? I mean, there's people who probably live out there who drive these roads every day. They don't go missing.
Yeah.
So why Brandon?
Yeah. Now I'm wondering, like, did they find like tire treads on the ground? Because like, if you can discern two different sets of tire treads, then it's like, well, at least we know someone was chasing him, someone was following him, and maybe they did something or something. And it's just, yeah, we're spinning, we're spinning in the brain, in the old brain theory land. The tires are turning. But I'll let you tell it.
So, his car was found, as I said, abandoned in a ditch, And the exact details of how his car was discovered vary in different accounts of the case, but typically it was located through the efforts of law enforcement or a passerby. So they just no idea how he physically got out there, but there's a bunch of hypotheticals on it, so I'll give you a few.
Okay.
After Brandon's distress call to his parents abruptly ended, his parents contacted law enforcement to report him missing and provide information about the approximate location where he believed himself to be.
So they went to the wrong place at first, didn't they?
They initiated a search operation, coordinating with Brandon's cell phone service provider to triangulate the location of his last call. So they didn't go to Lind.
Oh, okay.
They did go to where approximately where the call was coming from. And using this information and possibly aided by GPS, search teams fanned out across the area, focusing on the vicinity where the cell phone signal was last detected. And it's possible, just a passing motorist or a member of the search team spotted Brandon's car partially submerged in the ditch along the gravel road. Mm-hmm. Upon discovering the car, they secured the scene, conducting a thorough investigation for any signs of Brandon or clues that could shed light on his disappearance. However, despite the discovery of the car, Brandon himself nowhere to be found.
Okay.
So, it's just there. It's just there.
Is there anything? Well, I'm getting ahead of you. I was like, is there anything in the car? Is there any other evidence? I would assume there's not any blood around, or anything like that. I don't know. Go ahead though.
So here we have this guy. Let me slide you a picture.
Oh, is that what the car is? Is that how they found the car? That's crazy.
How they found the car.
You know, that almost looks like he wasn't necessarily driving even on the road. It almost looked like he was driving in the field and was trying to get back on the road and ended up like just driving straight into the ditch because it was dark or something. Because, I mean, just look at the angle that car got into the ditch. Like, there's no way he was actually driving, because you can see where the pavement is in the corner of that picture. There's no way he was actually driving in the road, right?
It doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, right? It seems like he was driving in the field, and it was like, oh, shoot, I can see road there, and it's like he tried to get back on the road, didn't really realize there was a ditch, and drove into the ditch.
So, it really does. It's because what ends up happening when you're looking at like the orientation of his car, even the direction of travel, he was going nowhere near the direction he was actually intending to go. And the thing about it that makes it wild is for the car to be in that position, you would have to hit it at some serious speed. So we're assuming because that's all we can do here. All we can do is assume or speculate that he was flying down this road, mm-hmm. or he got ran off, but we have absolutely no idea. Because if he was ran off or something else had happened that involved even another person, a phone call that he did have with his parents would have suggested that, but no.
That's true. If he was being chased on the phone, he'd be like, oh my God, I'm being chased. They're trying to get me. That, you know, I pissed someone off at the party and they're still tracking me and I don't know what to do. And oh shit. It seems like the oh shit is what probably when he crashes into the ditch, I would assume, would be kind of the oh shit moment. Or had he abandoned the car by then?
So he had abandoned the car and began walking.
Gotcha.
And like, yeah, as Shai just posted on the board there, he was getting increasingly frustrated because they couldn't find him. Like, if you're a college kid, you're lost, you're on your way home, and you are so confident on where you are, but despite your best efforts to tell anybody where you are, where you think you are, they're like, no, you're not there.
Right. So, of course, he's going to start getting frustrated because he's like, yes, I am. Why can't you find me? Come on. I'm here. And they're just like, no, you're not. You're not there. Like, sorry. And, of course, not only is that going to frustrate you, but, like, you're lost. And so, you're already full of anxiety and dread that you can't find your way. And then your parents are like, no, you're not there because, you know, it can't be. And... yeah, I imagine absolutely flustered, furious, irritated, you know, anxiety ridden. I'm sure he's all of that and more.
100%. And here's the other thing about it. Given the area, like, I don't know how much you know about, like, just like the rural or heartland areas, because I've even seen it in other places that I've visited and have stayed for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. In these back roads, on these access roads, especially through farmland, it is not uncommon to see vehicles parked on the side or, you know, put into a ditch or just left on the side of the road for a myriad of reasons. Either they were in an accident or the car just simply broke down. So it's also entirely possible that just the day-to-day movement of life for some of the people in this area saw the car and thought nothing of it.
Oh, because it was such a common thing to see someone in a ditch because they got lost, and it's you're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, and it's...
and your normal person sees the car, right? And they don't see anybody in it, so a lot of people just don't stop, they just keep going. And considering the time, we're talking 2 a.m, you see this car on the side of the road, a lot of people aren't going to stop, which doesn't help Brandon at all.
No... yeah, that kind of sucks, actually, because he's just in an area where it's like, oh, yeah, there's an abandoned car. That's just another Tuesday, and ooh, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Brandon's father came on record to say, I'll never forget that call.
Oh, I bet. I mean, I'm sure he remembers it like it was yesterday.
Yeah, panicked, confused, and he said he didn't know where he was, and... his mother comes on to say, we tried to reassure him, to guide him back home, but then the call just ended.
Oof, man.
So that, shortly
that must
after,
be terrible, like, for the parents. Like,
dude, imagine
that be your last interaction with your son, and he's never found again. It's just like, oh man, that is nightmare of all nightmares.
So countless search efforts ensue. Countless. Image I showed you shows 4 possible areas in which volunteer search teams and officers were going, and just combing the area, but the commonality between all the groups is like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Oh yeah, because like you said, you're in the heartland, so it could be anywhere. Oh man, that's unfortunate. That is like you said, needle in a haystack. Like, you're just gonna have to fan out and hope you hit the right one.
And it's such a tight knit community too. Like, the town of Marshall is not big by any means. We're not talking big city. Like, a lot of these areas in Minnesota are pretty rural, for what it's worth. I mean, the road between them is farmland. Driving from town to town, it's not the biggest thing. So when Brandon subsequently goes missing, the searches that follow are friends, family, local law enforcement that he probably knew and were familiar with growing up, family members and friends that grew up or watched him grow up. And the common word used to describe all of this is agony. Every single person searching for Brandon, at least a large percentage of people searching for Brandon, knew who he was or who his family was. And his sister was a part of the team, father, mother, law enforcement, just local community members. Everybody's just hand in hand searching these areas. And it just rocked the community. And efforts, while significantly lessened, they still search.
To this day?
To this day.
Wow, they're still out there, like, searching for him?
Mm-hmm. It's not as, let's say, it's not as pronounced as it was while the volume of effort has diminished, they're still looking.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we are coming up on, well, not quite 20 years, but it's been a while since 2008. So, and I think Shai just pinned up his presumed movements as he was walking towards Lights of Porter, thinking it was Lind. Whoa. That is quite the wide range. Oof. So
it's interesting because that image right there, for example, shows the access roads in an abandoned farmhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential 45 minute walk you would have taken realistically. Yeah. Where his car was stuck to where he was walking towards. And it's wild. So it leads to a bunch of, obviously, theories about how the hell does he get so disoriented? Like, what happened?
So disoriented. Like, sheesh. And at this point, I assume, since it's been so long and nobody's heard from him, chances are, if you find him, it is going to be, you are going to find his tragic remains. I mean, it is entirely possible, because I have heard of stories where, you know, these really stressful, crazy situations happen. You have a psychotic break, and you're just, you know, I don't want to say you become amnesiac, but like you just sort of forget who you are and you are just kind of going through the motions. You don't remember where you're from, who you are, how to get there. It's entirely possible he's just wandering around out there as some destitute sort of homeless person, maybe. But man,
They've narrowed it down to what, five? My notes. Five potential factors that could have just contributed to him getting lost. And it's disturbing, the lack of evidence on pretty much all levels without it. And it starts to make sense when you like combine them, but just the overall darkness, like these are not lit roads. They're not by any stretch. It's just you in the car. So the darkness itself, it occurred in the early hours of the morning. We're talking like 2-3 in the morning, likely in darkness or low light conditions. So,
and it's all farmland, so it is probably pitch black. And if he's walking around out there, oh man, talk about it. Like, it's so easy to get lost. Just even if you've got city lights to look at, it's easy to get lost. But in just pitch black farmlands, no lights but the stars and maybe the moon. Oh God.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that he ended up so far off of where he was familiar brings in point two, the rural and unfamiliar area that he found himself in. Like, you take a wrong turn. I mean, I've done it. I've taken a wrong turn in plenty of places. And all of a sudden, I have no idea what I'm looking at in front of me, if I could even see it, considering how dark it is. And now I don't know where to go, because I'm sure everybody who's driven long stints, you look for the turnaround to some degree. Where can I turn off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Before GPS, oh, man, my sense of direction is bad. So I would get lost all the time. I was always looking for a turnaround, a familiar sign, something. And yeah, I know all about looking for the nearest U-turn or the nearest familiar sign, and not being able to find one is so stressful.
Yeah, and so you're looking at darkness, you're looking at the unfamiliar territory, the sheer lack of landmarks to even go off of.
Mm-hmm. Nobody to ask for directions.
And then you have all of this stress of not knowing where you are, and your parents is presumably not helping you because you're a 19-year-old kid. You don't know what to do, so you're asking mommy and daddy for help, and they can't help you. So you're now reaching a whole new level of stress of like, holy shit, where the hell am I? What the hell do I do? Which also begged the question, he was coming from a party, was he potentially intoxicated? And while there's no evidence to suggest that Brandon was intoxicated, some speculation surrounded the possibility that alcohol or other substances could have played a role, at least, in his disappearance.
How did his parents say he sounded on the phone? Because I would imagine when you're having a conversation with someone, you know if they are impaired by drugs or alcohol, right? So was he quicker to get irritated with them? Was there anything different? Because like I said, my parents would know like that if I was talking to them impaired by alcohol. Like, there's no question. So,
same.
I would imagine the parents would be like, no, he was fine. He was lucid. I would imagine that's the only way you could tell one way or another is by the parents' testimony.
Potentially, but they also talked to the attendees at the party. So, on the night of his disappearance, he was in a party with friends in Canby, and obviously it's a party. It's not uncommon. I mean, there's definitely alcohol present. It's a social gathering.
Sure.
But while there were accounts that he may have consumed some alcohol, the extent of his consumption and whether it impaired his judgment was unclear. So friends who were there effectively said that, you know, they didn't observe him drinking excessively, and there was no evidence found in his car that he had been drinking, but it's a party. So we can safely assume that if he, you know, was a consumer of some variety, that he at least had some.
Okay.
But we genuinely don't know how much.
Yeah. Or there's no way to know until, you know, unless you gave him like a, you know, sobriety test, which
the sobriety test, yeah,
you're not going to be able to do because, you know, he's not there. So Shai just slid a note. He got one warning when he was a minor for drunk driving, but he didn't lose his license. However, during that party, likely he did some drinking, and at that point he was no longer a minor, but still under the legal drinking age. Yep. So if cops would stop him, he would get into huge trouble this time. So even if he wasn't blackout drunk, he could be scared that cops can do a test on him and their alcohol tester will show that he was drinking and he would be screwed. So instead of driving direct route where he was likely to see some cops, he took dark access road between farms and crashed his car. Huh. I mean, if he had a history of, you know, like you said, if he was stopped and got a warning for drunk driving, didn't lose his license, still on your record that you were stopped, and then if you stop, well, that's possible. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, you can chalk that up too, because I mean, I'm the kind of guy, even when I'm following all the traffic laws, if I see a cop behind me, I immediately get nervous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, even if I'm going the speed limit, there's still a part of me that's like, man, I don't know. I hope what he doesn't turn his lights on. Like, what if my brake lights are out? What if there's something I don't see? Like, I don't want to be pulled over. I don't want to get a ticket. You know, and it's like you see the cop behind you. It's like, I'm going to change lanes. If he changes lanes with me, then I'm just like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. But then it's like if he drives past me, everything's fine. So, yeah, I can see where he might be a little freaked out and maybe decide, you know what, let's play it safe and take an access road.
Yeah, it's an overcorrection for what it's worth. And being a gay, he's a kid. He's 19 years old.
19 years old. He's bitch.
So he could have easily. Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. He could have easily just driven off the road because he didn't want to run the risk of getting caught. Maybe he did know how much he drank, and maybe it wasn't, you know, as little as his friends thought, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to sit here and say, oh, Brandon was, you know, he was a raging alcoholic and decided to jump behind the wheel of the car. But he could have very well been just trying to play it safe and it ended up nipping him in the bud. It's just plain and simple.
Cause even if you're buzzed, like what do they always say? Buzz driving is still drunk driving. So even if he had just had a little bit, like Shai's note said, even a little bit, and they detect even just like one beer, you're still going to get in trouble. And having 100%. A previous offense, he's just like, you know what, I got to play this super cool and super safe. Just came from the party. I may have only had one beer. I'm not completely, you know, shit-faced or anything, but let's just still play it cool. We'll take some back roads. I know Minnesota real well. So that could explain why he's on that back road, sure.
Yeah. And I both love and hate situations like this, because obviously we want Brandon to be found.
Oh, absolutely. You never, never want to be able to, like, report on a situation like this where, like, 19 years old, your life is just starting, basically. Your life is just getting underway, and it's already over. And we don't know why, and we don't know where you are. Like, would absolutely love to wake up tomorrow morning and just be like, oh, news in, Brandon was actually found and everything's okay. Would much rather have that, right?
Much rather, of course.
Much, yeah.
And then, so we look at the facts of it. We look at the facts of the situation to say that he was in Canby, thought he was in Lind on his way home.
Whew.
He was actually in Taunton, but on his way to Marshall, roughly 25 to 30 miles from where he thought he was.
Yep. That is.
No one loss. One final phone call gets cut off abruptly with, oh shit, with a cease of contact. And that's it. The last time anybody heard of Brandon, regardless of the circumstances and how he ended up out there, what put him there in the first place. And
damn,
it's, and like he was actively trying to talk to his parents on these phone calls, like before the abrupt end, because he was pleading. Yeah. At that point you're pleading.
Oh, yeah. You're so desperate. And naturally, you want to keep the familiar voices on the line, because like that's the only comfort you got is like, because if I'm that lost, if I'm at least on the phone with like my mom or something, I'm like, OK, at least I've got this comforting voice. I've got this familiar voice. And yeah, I can totally understand why, just, you know, even if you're lost. Yeah. I would not like to imagine being in that predicament at all.
Yeah. He talked about, and Shai just slapped the board for me here. He had been talking. Yeah. Look over here, idiot. he had talked about like background noise and everything with that as well, with his parents, kind of like aid in their efforts to try to find him. And some of the things that were discussed were like, oh, the humming of insects, the running of water, rustling of vegetation, or the occasional passing of vehicles. But specific details about any actual background noise he may have heard are not publicly available. So we don't fully know everything that, you know, that he might have been lucid enough to actually even explain in the first place, but all they get is the panicked child with an abrupt disconnect. And
so they never found the phone, I assume. Did they find his phone?
I don't think so.
Like, I guess, because like if they were able to work with the cell phone company to sort of triangulate where the call was coming from, couldn't they maybe triangulate where that last call ended and cut off and maybe figure that out?
So, no, they did not find his phone. Nothing was found of Brandon aside from his car.
Oh, and nothing in the car suggested anything at all?
Yes. So the absence of the phone was added to the mystery surrounding his disappearance. Because you're right, when cell companies aid in missing person searches and they have a device to triangulate, The only thing that I can say in regards to that, as far as my knowledge goes anyway, not because I can't say it, is they give you a general area that can span incredible lengths to isolate it.
Right. But I mean, that's still a guesstimate, right? Like, you at least would have a search area. Like, even if it's a, say, 10 miles, that's still a 10-mile radius where you're like, okay, this is where he was. Like, we can comb this area, maybe find some evidence.
Oh, and you're absolutely right. And the thing is, they did. They fine-tooth combed every area. Okay, so what they did in terms of the search efforts, as far as I understand it, from what I've read and what lack of testimonials I can find, basically stated that they searched in and around Canby, in and around Taunton, all over Lind, where his car was found, and the official triangulation, that area as well. So they fine-toothed all of these areas in hopes that they could find literally anything, and the only thing they found was his car.
Wow. Nothing else. It's like he just vanished into thin air with no trace. Jeez.
Not a damn thing was found.
And there's been no development on finding anything after all this to over a decade? Nothing?
You're looking at almost 16 years to the date of this boy missing. And nothing. 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 And that's nothing. Like, no belongings, nothing. Anything outside of his car, presumably on his person, just gone.
Wow. Well, Shai just hit me with a spitball. No, I'm just kidding.
There's a note in there.
Yeah, she just got my attention. Dog's track sent beyond abandoned farm on that map, you see. It led into the river, but track started on the other side of the river as well. It's unknown if dogs tracked the right scent, however, and nothing was found on the farm or in the relatively shallow river. Yeah, once the scent leads into a river, that's when the tracking dogs have some trouble, right? Because if you go into the water, you start losing the scent, and so it's very possible that maybe the scents got mixed up too. But still, they didn't find anything either. It's just like,
and that's the other thing about it too. They did the best they could with the scent dogs, the bloodhounds, as it were, to realistically pick up a scent, but there was nothing in his car to really aid the search in that.
Did the parents have any like clothes or something to at least give like a base sense
to the give details the dogs on that,
or like you could go to his college dorm room where he was living and get any number of items for the dogs to be like, this is what he smells like. I don't know.
So it's presumed that they did. They've
probably done everything they can, right?
Yeah, as part of like the typical missing persons cases and situations like this, that's what they do. They check with the parents and they get belongings to try to pick up a scent or what have you.
Yeah,
but for all intents and purposes, for lack of better words and understanding, the boy went missing quite literally without a trace.
It just, they tried everything and everything turned up blank and everything turned up zeros. Jesus. It's just like he vanished into thin air.
And of course, there's always was it an accident? Was there foul play? You know, what happened?
You would think if there was any kind of foul play, there would be just some modicum of evidence somewhere to suggest it. With the amount of searching they did, I have to believe if somebody was chasing him, he would have, on the phone call, been like, hey, I'm being chased. I'm, you know, someone's been following me. But he didn't. And there's no sign of any. It's not like there's a sign of like, oh, no, coyotes showed up. Well, I don't know if there's coyotes out in Wisconsin, probably. But more like some wild animal showed up out of nowhere or, you know, sheesh. It could be anything. Damn. So any more? Are we nearing the end, or there's still a lot of or there's still some details that we need to go over here?
I wish honestly there were more that I could give you in regards to this. We just have all of these search areas that, like, because like I said, the search does continue, and they, based off of what they heard. And what they gleaned from discussions with Brandon prior to his disappearance, the short phone calls on his phone, and like testimonials from his parents, there's just nothing was provided. Like, he was reported missing at 6:15 in the morning, some 3 hours ish after the last phone call there, like 1:52 in the morning.
Yeah. I would love to believe that he's still out there, just, you know, waiting to be found or something. But man, if it's been 16 years, I imagine hope is kind of right. I'm sure the people of that town, you know, are still hopeful and they're still looking, and God bless you. And I hope you find anything to give you closure, be it finding him,
any solace or comfort. Yeah,
exactly. Because that's just, because I'm sure his parents are still alive, and are still just hopeful as ever. And damn, another spitball hit me in the head.
Yeah, we start getting into the theories of all of this. So we start, as I said before, you're looking at the darkness, you're looking at the unfamiliarity with the area, possible intoxication, overall distress and distractions that could have led to him just going off the beaten path, as it were. But the morbid side of it is the aftermath, the theories in which he crossed the river.
Happened.
Right. Like, if God forbid he drowned, but no body was ever found, right?
Yeah, and I would imagine, well, I guess the dogs did have a scent that led them into the river, but like, you would see something, like you would, or upstream, you would find a body or something, or you would be able to
tell. Yeah, the wildest theory I found in my research was that he was in the river and was abducted from the river. And the reason they never found any tracks or anything like that was because the abductors traversed the river. Having no tracks to follow, they would assume he just simply crossed it.
I mean,
but they never found anything in or around
the river
to, like, suggest that.
Yeah. Another one was he was abducted, but there are no signs that he, no tracks, and never interacted with another presence. He died of exposure, and one of the farmers later destroyed his body by accident with farming vehicle. You would still find something. You would still find scattered remains, because there's, I don't know. I guess I don't really know farm equipment. I've never worked on a farm. I've never worked with farm equipment. But there's no way that there is a machine that will wholly and completely destroy all evidence of a body. Right?
Yeah, there's no tiller that'll do that. I can tell you that with confidence. However, I will say this. If there was indeed foul play from anyone's part here, for the search for remains to actually commence, it would have to first be narrowed down and then reason to suggest that this happened.
Okay.
Right. So there's a lot of laws that protect just people who live in these areas or farmers in general, because for what it's worth, you see the videos, the crazy videos of people threatening to shoot people for trespassing or what have you. It could have, for what it's worth, it could have easily just been something like that, a misunderstanding. Like, he was lost and just, bang, that was it. Game over for Brandon. We hope that's not the case, but no one's going to come out right and say that. And until something comes forward where, you know, it would suggest something like that happened, they would never fine tooth comb it to find any possible remains. And at this point,
so unless there is a reason for them to search someone's farm, they can't. Is that what I'm understanding? Like, Shai,
realistically,
just,
yes.
Oh, yeah. And Shai just hit the message board again. Cops search most farms around, but some farmers refuse cops to search their property, mainly because police dogs scare farm animals. So yeah. It's entirely possible that he just wandered onto the wrong farm and something happened to him and no one's been able to find him because maybe the farmer didn't even know that he met his untimely fate on his, you know, 20 acres of land, and farmer doesn't know he's out there somewhere, you know, and the cops come by and they're like, oh, can we search your farm? He's like, no, of course not. You're going to scare the animals. You're going to ruin my crops and you're going to ruin my livelihood. So no, you can't search the farm. Unbeknownst to him, it's potentially possible that Brandon, I don't know, got hurt, got injured, or God forbid, he passed away on the farm. No one would know because the farmer won't let anybody search the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how on the money you are. He 100% could have just as easily wound up where he, you know, shouldn't have been. And a farmer or even some of the animals on the farm or animals poaching the farm could have done something about it. And it's true. You need a warrant. Now, warrants have to be backed with evidence. And considering the significant lack of evidence, no warrants were ever obtained. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't get a warrant to search every farmland in Wisconsin or even every farmland from, say, Linby to Marshall to Canby with no evidence other than we think maybe he's around here somewhere, possibly.
Yep. So until new evidence arises, which, again, I cannot stress it enough, we hope new evidence arises.
Oh,
they
yeah.
can't do anything about it.
Man. Yeah. Hope, but nothing for closure for any of his loved ones, because that's just, that is, like I said before, that is a nightmare of all nightmares. Like,
it really
I
is.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. Like, that's just, and to never have that closure of your child is just, sheesh.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your loved ones you love them, because you never know.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, they cannot echo that enough.
Sheesh. All right.
So it goes without saying. In the year since his disappearance, Brandon Swanson's memory has not faded, not one bit. And his family and friends continue to search for answers, refusing to give up the hope, as his disappearance remains one of Minnesota's most enduring mysteries, a testament to the enduring power of the human spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I would be doing the same if I were them. I would not stop looking, you know?
I can't imagine.
I do not blame them for still looking 16 years later. God bless them for keeping up the search for 16 years. So, whew, all right. Well, that was an episode. That was a broadcast. That was, whew. Anything else?
Not that I can think of, unless somebody's got some insider info they can provide. You want to direct it towards the family of Brandon Swanson in Marshall, Minnesota, or his friends in Canby, or anyone surrounding Taunton. You've got theories, you've got questions, hopefully some answers.
Yep. Damn. All right, before we sign off for this broadcast, since we're just a small little station here in Augury Point, if you would like to support the broadcast, because you were enjoying them on your late night drive, early morning drive, consider supporting the broadcast at patreon.com/unidentifiedsignal. Shy tells me that we do have some exclusive stuff incoming. I don't know if it's there yet, but I believe she is planning some stuff. So again, if you would like to support the broadcast, our small little show here in Augury Point, patreon.com/unidentifiedsignal. You want to take us home, Slap?
Yes, sir. And that's the show, folks. Consider the Patreon. Consider supporting us over here in Augury Point. And as always, thanks for tuning in and being true. I've been Slap. That was DK, or Spitball Queen Shy, behind the curtain. And until next time, sleep where they can't find you.